Today is the Sunday after the Ascension. So this past Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension, 40 days after Easter, after Jesus was crucified, then on Easter Sunday rose from the dead 40 days later. We read about in the book of Acts, Jesus ascends where he now sits at the Father's right hand, exalted as King, where he's ruling and reigning over all things. In my opinion, when we think about all of the sort of essential Christian doctrines, the ascension is one of the more complex ones, right? But we see it clearly in Scripture, and when we look at the account of Scripture, I see that I'm not alone, and if you're with me, that this is kind of a complex thing to wrap our brains around. We're not alone. I love the account here in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus is with his apostles, and all of a sudden, he's ascending, he's leaving their midst, and then we see this account of them just sort of gazing awestruck, like, what just happened, right? This is a complex thing to wrap our brains around, but it's clear in Scripture that this happened. It's clear in the creeds of the church. So we say every single week in the Nicene Creed, we say together on the third day, Jesus rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. This is clear in our Anglican Catechism. This is what our catechism says, that Jesus was taken up out of human sight, and he returned in his humanity to the glory he had shared with the Father before his incarnation. There, at the right hand of the Father, Jesus intercedes for us. He receives into heavenly life all who come to him in faith. Though absent in body, Jesus is always with me by his Holy Spirit and hears me when I pray. So this is an essential reality. Scripture, the creeds, our catechism, this is an essential reality, but it's complex nonetheless. So when I think about complex things, I can't help but think about geometry. My least favorite subject in school. Anybody with me? Yeah? Everybody else is like, I love geometry. Today's graduate recognition Sunday, so some of the graduates are like, man, why are you doing this? Like, you're like revisiting these nightmares of geometry. Geometry, you know, dealing with shapes and lines and arrows, that's about all that I remember of geometry. But that's the gist of it, right? So unlike geometry, this other complex reality, the ascension is one that I like to ponder and meditate on and reflect on. So much so, I didn't grow up in a tradition that really thought much about the ascension. But when I came into the Anglican tradition and started meditating and pondering on this beautiful reality, it started to shape my heart and my soul and my life in such ways that I had to get this icon of the ascension that hangs in my office to help me reflect and ponder on this reality. So I believe that this reality can shape us as followers of Jesus. So to help us reflect, I'm going to blend together this morning these two complex subjects, the ascension and geometry. It's going to be fun, I promise. To help us reflect some on this profound reality that is the ascension. So I'm going to give you three ascension shapes. Now, someone corrected me after the first service that these really aren't shapes. That's okay. Just go with me, okay? Ascension lines, directions, we could say, okay? Three of them. The first shape or first line arrow is up, up. The reality that Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand where he's ruling and reigning over all things propels us upward to God in prayer. So turn in your bulletin and look with me at Acts chapter 1, verse 14. We're going to look quite a bit at this single verse, so maybe keep it open in front of you so we can have our eyes on Scripture. So this is right after the ascension, right after Jesus left the disciples' midst. Verse 14, we read, all these, the women and the men, followers of Jesus, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. So this is the first time in the New Testament that we see the disciples gathering together without Jesus to pray together. The ascension propels the disciples towards God upwards in prayer. Why? Why does this propel them in prayer? First of all, I believe that they're being obedient to their King Jesus, their Lord and their King Jesus. Jesus was constantly telling them, especially toward the end of his time with them, that they needed to wait, to hold tight, because I'm going to leave your midst, but then soon after that, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you. So I think this is a picture of the disciples obeying Jesus and waiting, and what they're doing in prayer is they're longing for the Holy Spirit. Because by the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can experience the presence of Jesus. Even though Jesus isn't bodily with us, even though he's bodily absent from us, through the person of the Holy Spirit, we can experience the presence of Jesus. So these disciples were waiting, praying, longing for Jesus to make true on his promises and send, pour out the Holy Spirit, which is a lesson for us. I think we too should wait, long for the Holy Spirit. Experience the person, the presence of Jesus and the person of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, Jesus was no longer bodily with the disciples in the same way that he was. And I think the disciples grasped something better than we do. And that's that though Jesus is absent from us bodily, Jesus is actively praying for us. Think about that. The King of the universe is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for and praying for you. And I think the disciples got this. So listen to what Paul says. He says it pretty clearly in Romans chapter 8. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, the one who was raised from the dead, who is now at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of the universe, the risen Lord, the ascended Lord, is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for and praying for you. So what does this do for us? What did this do for these apostles? It lets us, it moves us upward in prayer to stop grasping for control, to let go and to trust that Jesus has got us, that Jesus loves us. We can ask for what we need, what we want in his name, and he's got us. So I experienced this in a real tangible way a few weeks ago. So we have a lot going on in our life, and I kind of hit this moment of feeling overwhelmed and anxious about all that's happening. And I think God providentially put in my path another Anglican priest who taught me this breath prayer that the next day I put into practice, and I had a tangible experience of this reality that Jesus loves me and Jesus has got me. And so I can let go of control and trust him. And so this breath prayer that goes like this, you breathe in, so take a big breath in, a big inhale, and say, Father, Father. And then as you exhale, as you breathe out, you pray, into your hands I commit blank. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, that you're anxious about, that you're overwhelmed with. Into your hands, I commit blank. And as you do so, you can experience that Jesus is our ascended Lord who's sitting at the right hand of the Father, who loves you, who cares for you, and who's interceding, who's praying for you. What a glorious reality. So the ascension propelled, moved these disciples, these followers of Jesus, up towards God in prayer. Second arrow, direction, shape, whatever you want to call it, second one is inwards. Jesus ascending to the Father's right hand where he's ruling and reigning invites us to lean in towards one another, towards one another. Jesus' ascension means that we're united, church, as one, as Christ's body. So look again at Acts chapter 1, verse 14. All these, again, the women and men who are following Jesus, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. With one accord, unity of heart, soul, and mind. These disciples, these apostles of Jesus, were united together, moving upwards to God in prayer. They're moving in and they're moving up. This is what Jesus prays for his disciples in John chapter 17, our gospel reading for today that we heard read earlier. John chapter 17, verse 11, Jesus prays, I am no longer in the world, but they, my disciples, my apostles, they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me. Look at what Jesus prays. that they may be one, even as we, Father, are one. So Jesus prays this for the apostles, but then a few verses later, again, Jesus is praying for you. We see in Scripture, Jesus praying for us. Look at what he says in verses 20 and 21. He says, I do not ask for these only, my apostles, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. He's talking about us. That we may be one, even as we are one. So we see the effects of these prayers right after the ascension. The disciples, followers of Jesus, gathered together with one accord, united together, leaning in toward one another in unity together, with one accord praying to God the Father. Because, here's why I think this is happening. Because though Jesus is not present with us physically, bodily, in the same way that he was, the church, that's us, we're by the Holy Spirit united with one another and united to Jesus so that, the New Testament makes clear, we are the body of Christ. So we experience Jesus in one another, in our unity together. Paul says it really explicitly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, now you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. The church, filled with the Holy Spirit, united to one another, united to Jesus as Christ's body on earth. So though Jesus isn't with us in the same way, in a bodily way, he is with us in a bodily way through the Holy Spirit working in each other. So we lean in. We lean in. The ascension propels us to lean in toward one another in love. The third direction arrow shape is out. So up, in, and out. You could have guessed that, right? Up, in, and out. Jesus ascending to the Father's right hand where he's ruling and reigning propels us out on mission together as the church, as the body of Christ in the world. Look at the very first verse of our reading in Acts. Now remember that Acts is wrote by who? Luke. Yeah, Acts is wrote by Luke, the same person who wrote the Gospel of Luke. So the book of Acts is sort of like Luke part 2. And so look at the way Luke begins this book in verse 1. He says, in my first book, he's referring to the Gospel of Luke, in my first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. So we as readers think at this point, okay, this is going to be another book about the ministry of Jesus in the world. And we would be right to think that. But then almost immediately after this, Jesus leaves the scene. And so we're wondering, wait, there's a whole lot of chapters and verses left here. I thought this was going to be about Jesus and what he's continuing to do in the world, but Jesus is gone. And Luke's like, yes, that's my point exactly. Because Jesus is still very much at work in the world. The ministry of Jesus is continuing in the world through you, through us, through the church. Filled with, empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus continues to be about ministry in the world. A few verses later, in verse 8, Jesus says this to his apostles, and I believe by extension to us, the church. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension. Next Sunday is another important feast day in our church year. Does anyone know? Spoiler alert. It's Pentecost. Spoiler alert, Jesus' promise comes true. Jesus' promise comes true. And the Holy Spirit does descend on the church, on the apostles, on followers of Jesus. And they do indeed receive power from the Holy Spirit to be the witnesses of Jesus in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And church, today that continues through us. Filled with, empowered by the Holy Spirit, through us. Not just me, clergy, but through all of us, because we together are the body of Christ, filled with the Spirit of Jesus, continuing the ministry of Jesus in the world. Testifying, witnessing about who Jesus is, and what Jesus has done. loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Because remember, church, when people encounter us, the words we say, the way that we're living, the things that we're doing, when people encounter us, they encounter Christ's body on earth. So we're propelled out in mission to continue the ministry of our risen and ascended Lord Jesus. So those are our geometry, ascension, blending the two complex realities. Those are our ascension shapes or directions or lines, whatever you want to say. Up, in, and out. So do you see how? This is a glimpse of how the ascension shapes us, how it shapes us as followers of Jesus. It propels us up to God in prayer because we know that Jesus is interceding for us. It stirs in us this longing for the Holy Spirit to experience the presence of Jesus and the person of the Holy Spirit. It propels us in to love one another as the body of Christ, to encounter Jesus in very real ways in one another. It propels us out to continue the ministry of Jesus in the world, in Loganville and Gwinnett County and in Walton County. The ascension shapes us in profound ways. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 16, he said this. This would have just confused his disciples like nothing else. He said, "It's to your advantage. It's better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus has ascended to the Father's right hand. Pentecost has happened. We're looking forward to Pentecost next week. Pentecost has happened. The church is filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is empowering us, propelling us up, in, and out. So, church, I hope that today, I hope that in the days going forward, the ascension will shape us into the sort of people that the Lord wants us to be. And I hope that as the ascension shapes us, Jesus, our crucified, our risen, and our ascended Lord, gets much honor and glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.